In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we are here on what the Church calls Judgment Sunday. This is one of the most serious Sundays of the year. Sunday of great sobriety. Sunday in which we remember the great and final the dread judgment seat of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This parable of the separating the sheep from the goats is given to us annually to remember the separation between those who will experience the coming of the Lord as heaven and those who will experience the Lord's coming as hell. And this is given to us as we are about to set out on our Lenten journey, so that we might make the most of this time, this special time of year that's meant to prepare us not just for Pascha, but meant to prepare us for that age to come. If you will, meant to prepare us for that dread and final judgment, so that we're ready. Last night, we had the memorial service, the general memorial. We remembered all the departed throughout the ages, our fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, members of our family and friends, those known and those unknown, all those who have departed this life. We offered our prayers for them so that when they receive that general resurrection with everyone else, that they are ready for that dread judgment. They're ready to, if you will, pass the test and enter into the heavenly kingdom. We offered our prayers for them. And we spoke last night about an image which we hear about in the service for the memorial. This is from Ode 6 in the canon. The hymn says, "Beholding the sea of life, surging with the storm of temptations, and taking refuge in thy calm haven, I cry to thee, raise up my life from corruption, O greatly merciful one." The imagery is very clear. This age, this life, is likened unto a sea, stormy sea, raging. The winds are blowing. And on this sea, many perish through sin and corruption and death. But on this sea, we can also find a calm haven, a place where we can take shelter. And this haven, this ark, is the Church. And even if you listen carefully, you can hear the winds howling outside. Not like this every Sunday of the year, but it is today. You can hear those winds. And there's calmness here. There's protection, there's safety, because our Lord Jesus Christ is here. No matter what's going on outside in the world, inside the Church we have that calm. We have that safety and that protection and that peace, because Christ is here. When we think about the history of mankind, we know that that stormy sea raged from age to age. And many sunk down through sin into corruption and death, into the underworld. But Christ comes so that he might deliver us from this sin, corruption, and death. And when he comes to this earth, he enters into this stormy sea. And what does he do? But he calms those waters. Remember the miracles? The disciples are with the Lord in the boat, and he calms the storm, he calms the waters. And there's quiet, there's peace. Remember, he walks on those waters. And he teaches from the disciples' boats, he teaches the crowds, and he's assembling his crew, the disciples, the 12, the 70, the murmuring women, the women who administer to him, all of the believers. He's assembling them as part of his crew so that this great vessel, this great ark of salvation, the Church, might lead us into the promised land so that we might no longer perish at sea. But it's interesting, in the life of the Lord, something very paradoxical happens. And it shows Jesus Christ as the new Noah who surpasses what the old Noah had done. Remember, Christ fulfills everything in the Old Testament. He fulfills the image of this person, Noah. Who was Noah in the Old Testament? There's just a movie about him, maybe not so biblically accurate, but who was he?
Oscar?
Exactly. That's right. The Lord told Noah, who was a righteous man, living in an age of utter sinfulness, to build this ark. And that this ark was to be for him and his family, and for all of the animals, two of each kind, right? And then there was this great flood that wiped out sin from the face of the earth. But Noah and his family and the animals survived, and then the human race kind of restarted from them in a sense. This is the image of Noah in the Old Testament. Very similar to Christ in the New Testament. Because Christ is righteous beyond comparison. And he assembles this church as the ark of salvation. And he brings his family on board, brothers and sisters in Christ. And all those who enter into this ark can obtain salvation. But Christ surpasses Noah in that this ark of the church is not just for a select group of people. This ark of the church is for everyone. And Christ does something that the disciples, the crew, didn't quite understand, right? He's the captain of the ship, and he's instructing them. But some of the lessons they didn't quite get. What was the main lesson the disciples stumbled at? What was the thing that they couldn't quite grasp in the ministry and work of Jesus Christ? Was it the healings? Was it his doctrine, the teaching?
The crucifixion.
The cross. Couldn't get it. He said, Lord, let this not happen. Not you. Not us. And Christ ascends the cross anyway. If you will, on the ship, he climbs up the mast. And there's the arms outstretched on the mast. And the crew, the disciples, look on with horror. They don't understand it. And then from this cross, he then descends down to the depths of the sea. And he goes there to raise up those who are bound by sin and corruption and death. He raises them up. So that all those who died and all those who are living might enter into life as it should be. Remember, the general resurrection, the bodily resurrection, is for everyone. Not just for those in the ark, those in the church, but for everyone. Christ descends to hell to shatter its gates, to break the chains, and to raise up all of the dead. And everyone will enter into that bodily resurrection. You know, we spoke last night about the waves of the sea and how they continually go from generation to generation. And they crash upon this land. Every wave will eventually reach the end, reach this land. You will this promised land. This image is a reminder for us of this general resurrection, this age to which we are all going. But the Lord tells us something about this age. He tells us that in this age, there will be a heaven and there will be a hell. Some will rejoice and some will be tormented. That was the lesson in today's parable, wasn't it? Right? There will be sheep, there will be goats. There will be joy and sorrow. And what's that based upon? God's own decision of who's going to get to heaven and who's going to get to hell? He's going to pick and choose? What does the parable tell us? That the separation is made as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. How does a shepherd divide the sheep from the goats? Does he go through the group and say, you're going to be a sheep, you're going to be a goat? No. He looks and he sees what they are, right? Some are sheep and some are goats. He can only do with what is given to him. And this is how it is at the next age. You know, when we go to the ocean, we're privileged to be so close here. One of the things people often do is they walk the shores and they look at the different shells, right? Look at the shells and see what they can find. Some they keep and some they throw away. Some are great and some are not so great. This is how it will be at the end of the age, when we all come ashore. Some will be wonderful shells, containing within it the Spirit of God. And others will be broken. Just the shell of a human being. When we think about the criterion between the sheep and the goats. The Lord reminds us many times. You could daydream through half of the gospel today and still catch that criteria, right? How many times is it repeated? The question, did you feed me? Did you give me to drink? When I was naked, did you clothe me? Did you visit me when I was sick and in prison? Continually repeated this criteria so that we might get it, so that it might register with us. I want to share with you a couple quotes from a saint of our time, Saint Maria of Paris. Reread her life this week, and wonderful life. Unlike many of the other saints, I'll quickly summarize her life for those who haven't heard of her. But she was an atheist, became a communist, political radical. She plotted assassinations. She was twice divorced. She had a child out of wedlock. She smoked and she drank. And she did this even when she was a nun. St. Maria of Paris. But St. Maria spent her whole life, everything that she had, when she came to conversion to Christ, in serving those who were in need. Those who were poor. Those who were homeless. Those who were sick and in prison. Those who were alcoholics and struggling with all different kinds of addictions and mental illnesses. And she had this open door at her convent that was open to everybody. But it was not only open to people who would come in, it was open because she would go out and bring them in. She would go out and find them and compel them to come into the ark. And she did this at her own expense, not just materially, but even spiritually. She couldn't pray as much as she wanted to. She couldn't attend the service as much as she would have liked to, as the other nuns were doing. She gave herself entirely to the service of those who were in need. Came to the end of her life, after the fall of France in 1940, the Nazis had taken over France, and she was rounded up. She was rounded up because she and the priest at the convent were writing false baptismal certificates for Jews so that they wouldn't be persecuted. And they came and they took them away to a concentration camp. And there they suffered greatly for years. It came to this time of year, and on Great and Holy Friday, St. Maria was taken from the group, with a smaller group, and brought to the place where they had the gas chambers. And she knew that it was time. But there were others in that group who were very afraid, very scared. One woman, who was a Jew, who didn't know about the coming resurrection and the true goodness of God, she was out of her mind with fear. And St. Maria decided that she would go first. She would take her place. And she went to the gas chamber with boldness, with trust in the goodness of God and what he was doing for her and for all people. She laid down her life so that she might help her neighbor in need. Her life speaks very much by itself. But here's what she says. St. Maria says, "Man ought to treat the body of his fellow human being with much more care than he treats his own. Christian love teaches us to give our fellow people material as well as spiritual gifts. We should give them our last shirt and our last piece of bread. Personal almsgiving and the most wide-ranging social work are both equally justified and needed." Then she speaks about the decision that's before each and every one of us. And she puts it in a very stark way, which was appropriate, I think, for the time that she was living in, with what was happening in the world. But perhaps it's still appropriate for today. She says, "Everyone is always faced with the necessity of choosing between comfort and warmth of an earthly home well protected from winds and storms, and the limitless expanse of eternity, which contains only one sure and certain item, the cross. The way of God lies in love of people. At the last judgment, I shall not be asked whether I was successful in my ascetic exercises, nor how many bows and prostrations I made. Instead, I shall be asked if I did feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the prisoners. This is all that I shall be asked. About every poor, hungry, and imprisoned person, the Savior says, I was hungry and thirsty. I was sick and in prison. To think that he puts an equal sign between himself and anyone in need. I always knew it, she says, but now it has somehow penetrated into the depths of my very being. It fills me with awe. St. Maria says that if you're to live this way, one thing is necessary, and that's to believe at all times. If you doubt for an instant, you begin to sink. It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross that will sustain us, that will save us. When we look at the life of St. Maria, it wasn't perfect. She was a sinner. But you know what? She was like the rest of us, if we're honest with ourselves. We haven't lived perfect lives. But we have had that wonderful privilege of coming to know Christ, to be incorporated into his ark, to have a certain measure of peace, because we're with Christ and we know what he's doing for us and what he's doing for the world. But what St. Maria had that really made her holy, that made her a saint, was that she was not just in the ark, but she became Christ-like. She offered her life, as he did on the cross, to get others on board, to save others, to help others. There is no way that we can feed the hungry, that we can give drink to the thirsty, that we can visit those who are sick or imprisoned or clothe the naked, without suffering a little bit ourselves. Right? If you're going to buy somebody something to eat, you have less money yourself. If you're going to visit somebody who's sick or in prison, you have less time. There's an exchange. There's a cost. But what does the Lord tell us? Which is at the very center of our Christian faith. If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Because he who loses his life shall find it. He who lays it down shall take it again. This is the great paradox. This is the great mystery of the Christian faith. That in dying, we come to live. We have the privilege of being in this ark. But we're on this ark as crew members of Jesus Christ, who's our captain, who, through the cross, brings us into newness of life. Let us not stumble at this cross as the disciples did. Let us understand it. Let us go outside of the walls of this church. Let us go to those who are in need. Let us help them at our own expense, at the cost even, if it comes to it, of our own lives. Because in dying, we shall live. And not only will we live, but others will be incorporated into it as well. Glory to Jesus Christ.